And before we get to the show, I guess this is strange. This is officially Canada Week on the show, I guess, which is, I don't know if we've been nationalized, but the idea for this episode came from a conversation I had with Allison B. over at the CBC when I was chatting with her. And she kind of talked about some stuff that kind of triggered me thinking about what this episode became. So I want to say hi to Allison and Kate and Lindsay over there at CBC. They have a show podcast playlist you should check out. It covers tons of great podcasts. So check that show out. It'll be in the show notes. And I want to thank Allison for the trigger in this idea. And then Adriana B. Happened to write an article about us in the Globe and the Mail that was really nice about the podcast. So if I didn't love our, I mean, I already loved Canada. So what can I say? Drake, you know, I'm still waiting for your call. And there was something else I thought of about Canada, you know, Canada and my love of Canadians. But welcome to Canadian Week here on Sleep With Me podcast. Let's get on to the show. Oh, also, Chris Posty Posterson's Canadian, or he lives in Canada. I haven't done his family tree or anything. All right, now let's get on to the show. All right, ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, pack your playlists, start your sleep timers, because it's time for Sleep With Me, the podcast that puts you to sleep. And if you want to help out the show, please consider becoming a patron at sleepwithme.com/patron. My goal is to get 10% of people involved at a dollar. Right now, we're right around 1% or so. And this actually, this dollar idea is only going to work if I can get about 10% of you to donate at a dollar a month. And that's really what I'm asking for. It's not, this isn't a hope that you'll donate more. I just want you to think about if the show's worth a dollar a month to you. If you're the silent majority and you could think about just pledging a dollar a month, that's for 12 new episodes of Sleep With Me. So that's 12 hours of new content Sunday, Tuesday, and Thursday nights. Monday and Wednesday, we have a remix Sleep to Strange episodes. And then on Sundays, we also offer a remixed Game of Drones episode. So that's 3 times 4 is 12. I think that's 24 episodes a month. And I don't know how that works out, but seriously, I'm not kidding. And actually, the way Patreon works, a dollar a month is still, we get most of the money. So I want to get to 1,000 as soon as we can. I'm going to start doing some giveaways here when we hit 1,000 and 1,500 and 2,000. But I really need to, I guess I really need you to think about if you can support the show at a dollar. And I thank everyone that has, but I need a lot more people to just think about it. A dollar a month, that's all I'm asking. $12 a year. If the podcast is worth, and if you think it's only symbolic, if you could just give me the dollar anyway and say, well, geez, it's part of a movement. I'm trying to build the Boar Wave. Think about helping, and let's get on to the show. Hey, are you up all night tossing, turning, mind racing, trouble getting to sleep, trouble falling asleep? Well, welcome. This is Sleep With Me, the podcast that's here to put you to sleep. We do it a bedtime story. All you need to do is get in bed, turn out the lights, and press play. I'm going to do the rest. What I'm going to do is create a safe place where you can set aside whatever's been keeping you up at night, whether it's a racing brain, to-do lists, feelings, noise. Whatever it is, I'm going to try to distract you from that. I'm going to send my voice across the deep, dark night. And I'm going to use world building and exposition, dialogue, you know, where people just talking about stuff. But I'm also going to use a little bit of humor, something that's somewhat interesting, to try to distract you, but not over-engage you. That way, instead of thinking about whatever it is, or just the rigmarole of wondering and thinking about sleep, you can listen to me, and I'm going to kind of drone on here. I'll go on for a tangent on this intro, and then we'll go into the episode. You know, it'll take me a while to get anywhere, but points might not come to total conclusions, but I kind of want to use a lighthearted, fun approach. If this is your first few times here, welcome. This podcast is a bit different than other podcasts.
one daytime podcasts that are meant to kind of entertain or inform you, or other sleep stuff, because this is just it's the odd version. You know, it would be at a grocery. You say, well, what's that grocery store that sells the off brands? That's where they keep Scooter's podcasts, you know. He's not one of those, you know, I'm an off-brand podcast. And I actually, no, I'm more of an odd brand. Like when I used to get my clothes, I don't know if they do this anymore, but I mean, I know it's been talked about in probably this show and other stuff. But when it comes to sizing, I mean, the irregular sizing of podcasts. And that's what most of my clothes growing up were, but I could never tell. Like, I have an irregular size in my body. So I was like, oh, wait, that makes perfect sense for me. I guess I didn't realize that till I was an adult. You know, and you probably wouldn't realize it when you first see me. Or, you know, but it's like I'm long in the trunk. Like, my trunk, my abdomen is the wrong size for my body type. It's tough to notice, except, you know, it causes clumsiness. Or at least I say to myself, that's why I'm clumsy. Well, you know, my rest of my body doesn't fit my abdomen. And even my doctor says, you know, nurse, can you call in somebody from the other department? We need a consult again. And they say, no, doc, measure my abdomen. Just my abdomen, not the whole thing. And he says, well, we need to talk about these other results. And I say, is that from the abdomen scan? And I said, do you know of any humans that have been born with a thorax, doctor? I said, because I think I may have a thorax. You know, human. I'm human. And, you know, luckily he'll quote, like, bones or whatever and say, I'm a doctor, Jim, or something. And then I say, okay, great. Can you mark that down, a thorax? I said, I'd like to have my permanent record, you know. He said, a lot of the other stuff I don't want in there, but the thorax. So that's the thing. You stumbled across a podcast, a thoracic podcaster. Huh, that's another. I'm getting a lot of good blue sky book ideas. I don't know. That's more of a, I don't know, the thoracic podcaster. Doesn't that sounds like a contemplative tome? It's like Kafka. But, you know, boring and not like, you know, it's not Kafka-esque. And it's more of an intro where he was supposed to talk about one thing. He was supposed to describe how the podcast works. And then as Scooter's loath to do, he kind of made it, he's a narcissistic metaphorist with a thorax issue. And I say, well, that's judgmental. Holy moly, who are you? I'm inside you. Are you in my, but you're not part of my thorax, clearly. But, you know, most podcasters, I'd say most podcasters are, they also are in the irregular clothing category. But they probably don't have, you know, they probably don't have a thorax. I'm trying to think of anybody off the top of my head. I don't know, you don't really see many podcasters without their clothes on either. I'm trying to think, who's got a thorax? I'd say Marin does, but I don't know. That's just because I like him. I'd say, hey, me and you got thoraxes, buddy. How about it, you know? But yeah, the talk about botching a potential, the one part that could have been funny is if I could have picked out one and been like, well, that, you know, that's a thoraxy podcaster. But yeah, I got nothing. I mean, I guess I'm all by myself, all by my lonesome. Just me and my thorax. What did I say? The thoracic podcaster? So that's what the podcast is. I'm sure maybe one part of your brain was like, huh, what would a human thorax look like? I'll tell you, I'll describe it for you. Exactly like a human body. But just elongated. I have the same, but it's, you know, more thoraxy. And I say, okay, never mind. I got to get off this, but that word just keeps, every time I try to move away, this is how the pointless meanders work. And this one's, and there's different types. This is the stuck in the mud one. And I think it happened on another intro. And I'm trying to change gears here. And then every time I say, okay, Brian, you ready to come up with another thing? It says thorax. And he say, no, 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 not thorax. I guess that's a kind of a sound your car would make when it's stuck. Thorax, thorax, thorax. But anyway, the goal of the podcast is to take your mind off of whatever it is. Or maybe you say, geez, well, at least I don't have that, you know, or at least I'm not fixated on that. So, I don't know. I was trying to make a metaphor out of shopping for regular size clothing. But, you know, but I'm still unable to pull that together. It's like, talk about a setup that for this podcast, it should be easy to pull the intro together. Okay, let's just talk. Here was my game plan as I went into it. I didn't even sit down thinking about it. But I don't know how the regular clothing came up. But as soon as I said that, I said, okay, this is kind of how I'm narrating the podcast like 4 seconds before it hits my mouth, but it still has to go through my brain. So I said, okay, we'll go. I said, just start remembering being at, I don't know if they called it TJ Maxx. I think we had Marshall's, or was it the other one? Ross and TJ Maxx. Those are the three stores. I don't know what the one in Syracuse, New York was. And I said, okay, you could talk about that, and then you could probably pull that together. And then I went, it's like my brain actually dove into the irregular clothing bin. Or the rack, you know, that's total chaos. Not only is it regular clothing, but then the people like me, you know, Thoraxians that shop that, you know, we're not exactly the most conscientious shoppers or the neatest. Because if you have a regular body or an irregular budget, you know, you just kind of shop, you know, say, I'm looking for that one piece of regular clothing that's finally going to give me self-esteem. If I just dig deep enough here, you know, make me forget all about my regular body. And in fact, I have a friggin' thorax instead of a, like, you know, if my thorax was matched up with the rest of my body, I'd be like my brother Ted. He's like a 6'4" fireman who like looks like he goes logging in his spare time. You know, a good kind of law, like, you know, he'd be coming back with pancakes and Babe the Blue Ox and, you know, a bunch of logs on his shoulder. But anyway, I guess I got issues just like the rest of it. And the thing is, at bedtime, this can crop up for a lot of people. For me, it does. And it just said, you know, you just start, you know, you could be pining. I don't know what the difference between pining and opining is. I think opining is like stating your opinion. So we'd be more pining. But as you pine, then another part of your brain is going to start to opine. And then, you know, and it just starts to pick at you and you start thinking about it. And you say, I don't want to think about clothes shopping with my mother. And, you know, I don't want to rehash those memories. I'm trying to go to bed. Or I don't want to think about blah, blah, blah. I just want to get some sleep, please. And I'm the one, I come in. And obviously, whatever your brain is listening to, I probably got a couple parts of its attention. And like, this guy, I said, you're so much, I thought you were in bad shape till you started listening to this podcast. This guy, I mean, he does this podcast 3 times a week and he releases it. And it's true. You can hear in his voice, it's part of it's true. He actually believes he has a thorax. I mean, I'm not even an embodied, I'm just a disembodied brain function. You know, I'm just a few synapses firing, and I know that's nonsense. And I say, you're correct. You are all correct. I'm just here to bandy about for your entertainment. But the best part is you can tune out whenever you want. You can drift off. You can let me, you know, you can lower the volume, and you could slowly drift away because you say, well, thorax isn't the worst word in the English language, you know. And, you know, we could say Lorax, and I could say other words if I could think of them that rhyme with it, or it could go back to the irregular clothing well, or I could just kind of finish up and say, you know, it's different. I want to help you fall asleep. This is the kind of experiment I've been doing for about 340-something episodes. It seems to work for some people. It's well-intentioned. I just kind of want to be your odd little friend, chattering on and on. But my feelings aren't bothered at all. In fact, I'm buoyed in some sense by the fact you fall asleep while I chatter away. And it's my honor to be here and do so. I can't tell you how grateful I am to be able to do this podcast and put all you wonderful people to sleep. You know, a man, who would have thought it? I guess that would be the first lines of the thoracic podcast. I guess it would be my thoracic podcast if it was like another autobiography. And I forgot what the first line was that I just said 4 seconds ago. Who would have known a boy with a thorax could be so dull and so happy at the same time? Thorax, the thoracic podcaster, and shelves in 2080 or something. Sorry, it's almost like I'm cracking myself up with pity for part of myself or something. But I'm glad you're here. You can hear it in my voice. I'm so glad you're here. And I hope I yearn, I desire to help you fall asleep. So thanks so much for stopping by. All right, housekeeping. We're on the web, www.sleepwithmepodcast.com. Older episodes are there. You can comment on the website. You can email me, feedback@sleepwithmepodcast.com. You can get me on Twitter @DearScooter or on Facebook @SleepWithMePodcast. I want to thank Chris Posty Posterson, who edited this episode and did the music. I want to thank Scotty and Jennifer on our artwork, on our honor. We've got a Facebook group over at SleepWithMePodcast.com/nods, NODS. I want to thank Jennifer B., Rachel L. to the G., Julie C., Lie to Lie, Alexandra and Laura, who are moderators over there at sleepwithmepodcast.com/nods. And you can just go there and make friends with other listeners, talk about sleep stuff, you know, goof around. There's a lot of positive goofing around there that I see when I get a chance. And then you can find on Reddit, sleepwithmepodcast.com/Reddit. And that's run by Latitude. Thank you so much. All right, hey everybody, it's Scooter Saturday night. I'm going to do a little episode here. I got this idea after talking to Allison B. Allison B. C. B. C. So thank you, Allison. But I was thinking about, we were kind of talking and I was joking about what would happen if somebody, because I guess this is your fear I have of someone kind of copying the show that's maybe... They're better at it than me, and they put in less work. So my goal with the show is, you know, the work, it just seems effortless, you know, so the work goes on behind the scenes. But, I'm always afraid, you know, if, I don't know. And so I was talking to Allison, and it's kind of weird, joking about it. And then I was like, wait a second, I never talked about the course, you know, there's that thing called Great Courses, right? You heard of that? I think you can buy it on airplanes or you could get it in magazines. I've seen it before. I mean, for me, it just becomes, I think my brother might have subscribed to it. And I said, well, I wasn't so great when I had the courses the first time. And I said, one day, you know, I'd like to be the kind of person that could do that and listen and appreciate it. But then I started to, you know, daydream, and I said, well, I got a great course or two. Well, I got a good course or, and I said, well, it seems like they must be making money at this great course thing. I got to get in on it, just like the porpoises, you know, with their multi-level marketing. I got to get in on the ground. Well, I guess this isn't the ground floor because it's, but I said, well, let me pitch Great Courses. And I was thinking about, you know, competition and people, you know, someone, you know, just, I'm a paranoid, you know, bit of a loon. But I said to myself, I said, well, I might as well, I should do a great course about the book. Because I said, you know, maybe the listeners and maybe, you know, maybe most of planet Earth doesn't know about the great bores in history. I mean, they might know about people that were boring and famous. And, you know, it's a bit of a, it's not something I can always, you know, I'd rather get paid by Great Courses to talk about it than, you know, do it for free. Because it's kind of, I kind of swore a few oaths, you know, when I, and people say, okay, does this have to do with the bore downs? And I say a bit. And for people that are new, it's another secret. It's like a kind of like Fight Club for boring people like me. Because you think, well, there's only one style. Is there only one way of being boring? Because there's like the dude from Ferris Bueller, there's Grandpa Simpson, and there's Scooter. And I said, well, that's about it. Oh, any other boring? And I said, well, yeah, there's a whole underground society of us. And we have these things called bore downs, like rap battles, but without all the good, you know, without the good parts, the rapping, you know, the machismo, the dropping lyrical, you know, rhymes and, you know, wordsmithing. Bores are more into word mushing. Though there are some really great boys, you know, but I don't, you know, I'm jealous of those guys, so I'm not about to give them any airtime. So if you take a jump back, you say, well, Scooter, yeah, what are your roots? Because I'm more of in the classical, I don't know, that one guy, because there's one guy dresses up in a Socratian outfit, and he's gone, well, he's only been at one bore down, because I mopped the floor with his toga. I said, I'm going to need that for, and I pretended I just did this hour dialogue of me. It was so boring. I think it was in Kansas City, you know, underground. No one, you know, you wouldn't have heard about it, because even the people that went, I put them to sleep, even the judges. So I didn't technically win. And this guy, I'd taken his toga, so you'd think that would be shocking. He fell asleep, and he was probably pretty cold, but he was sitting down, and I had worn a hat, so I had capped him, so it wasn't too, he wasn't 100% exposed. And then I just did a narrative about mopping the floor with a toga. So I guess you couldn't say I'm classically, but I guess a bore archetype, before we get into the great bores issue, but Ben Stein kind of is one. And a lot of people will know Ben Stein from Ferris Bueller's Day Off, or Win Ben Stein's Money. And from Win Ben Stein's Money, it was revealed this guy's pretty intelligent guy, because not a lot of people were winning his money. And he was witty, but he had like a really wide knowledge. I'd like to see him and Ken Jennings just interact. I think that would be good. And I wouldn't say Ben Stein's an intellectual bore, or like just a pop culture bore. He's kind of, he's got shades of both of those, and he's got that monotone voice. So he just says, you know, okay, class. I guess he would be the archetypal, I guess he would be a Sophoclean. Is that what they say when they say Sophoclean? I wish Ben Stein was here to inform me. But he would just drone on like professorial. Yeah, I guess that's the archetype. And someone out there is like, okay, Scooter got a word of the day calendar. The only word he's seen this year was February 12th, archetype. He didn't read the definition. He saw the word, though. And I would say you're right on all things, except that was from 2012, the word calendar that I saw today, March 8th, 2012, archetype. So you're right. But yeah, so Ben Stein would say, you know, he would just have an authority. So he'd say, you know, and then the Persian Empire conquered those people, setting forth the launch of clay jars across the plains, and is a use of storage of not only liquids, but also liquids that would turn to a solid like state, such as olive oils. That would proliferate the curing of fish across the region. And at the same time, the increases in temperature of the Adriatic Sea had effect to the algae that had carried the fishing stocks from 26 parallels to 42 parallels. Now, if Ben Stein were doing this, he would actually have actual facts tied together with probably some reasonable points. And that was what became of the, that was what would later become the first instances of chewing gum in recorded time. Now, those chewing gum instances were recorded on the same clay jars, thus Forespoken. And they had developed a technique for 48 hours as the clay said it would need to cure to solidify for that long. And at some point, the clay was also good for cleaning of the teeth, so they would chew some of the extra clay after it had hardened for only an hour or two. And they realized very quickly that it helped to clean not only the surfaces of their teeth, but in between their teeth as they chewed the drying clay. And thus it was recorded on the jars that the clay itself was stored. And now the first time the jars were interpreted and uncovered was just 800 years later. But unfortunately, those peoples did not make it, for they took the carvings literally and chewed hard clay, thinking it was good for their teeth. Those are the people that prayed Ask Jake, the Ask Jakeians, and due to the lack of teeth, they were lost. So that's your Ben Stein. Even though it's modern history, Ben Stein is a great bore in history. More of a subconscious influence on me, because Ferris Bueller's Day Off was one of my favorite movies of all time. But I more identified with Cameron Frye and, you know, fantasized that I would be Ferris. And I said, well, one day I'll be Ferris where I feel at ease in the world. But for now, I'm Cameron Frye. So that's archetype number one. And, you know, be on the lookout for a Ben Stein-esque bores. And you could hear, you know, the influence on me even today. And some would say I'm an ignoramus version of Ben Stein. And I would say, well, yeah, I would agree. I think he's much more intelligent than me. And he obviously has a powerful memory and a way to access that memory. If I have a memory, like I said, my brain has a portion which is, you know, it became gobbledygook. Or when it was designed, they said, well, we got a design flaw here. Let's just put this. They say, have you heard from the creator with this stuff? It's gobbledygook. It's extra. Just stick it in there and then send them down. And I said, well, I thought should we label them as refurbished? No, just send them down. Just send them. He'll be fine. He'll adapt. That's what these creatures do. They're adaptable. I say, yeah, but he's 98% gobbledygook. He very little gray matter. And they say, weren't you at the seminar about the gray matter? And would you believe that's the next archetype? Angel, boring angel archetype. The B-A, what was it? Boring angel. B-A-A. I think they had a different name of they, you know, the heavenly creatures. They come BBTC. I think that stands for boring, beloved, transcendental. They say don't use the word creatures with us. I think that's what they said to me, and they said don't raise your wings at me, Michael or whoever. Why don't you row your boat ashore? And then the guy, actually, he said, that's the one we sent with the gobbledygook, Michael, before you were an archangel, when you were just working on the assembly line, and you were supposed to be in quality control. So and I said, irony even for the angels, how sweet is that? And then he said, just you wait. And I actually knew what he meant. So I said, well, I'll do the service while I can, while I'm here in my earthly condition. So the boring angels, that tends to come from an era of not like, you know, of is kind of superior, I guess, a little bit like a boss or like, an, you know, if you've been detained for some reason. or a figure in a film or something that ends in krat. They would say anything that ends in krat. Like, I don't know what a technocrat is. I know what a bureaucrat is. And I think that's what another thing I called him. I said, you're just an angiocrat. And he said, that's not even a word, a fantasy word. And I said, can you read minds? And no one said anything, so I assumed they could, because, oh boy. But, you know, the boring angels, they would give you a lot of inspirational quotes to live by. Walk the middle road, walking. So I guess it's a little bit like Ben Stein. But I have to maintain an even tone, you know. But they would say, in low, beholden below, the sidewalks, while cracked, sprout green. And what makes the green grow? But the sun's rays. But without the water from above, there would be no growth. For hence to four, deep under the cracked asphalt, within the earth are roots, sucking the nutrients from the soil, and below the roots is the earth full of nutrients for the grass. And some would say this grass shall not sprout, and some would say it serves no purpose but to create the crack that must be repaired. And there the man comes to repair the crack. Down the block from the crack, within the homes, is NBC on ABC, BBC, PBC on FOX, TV watching on every tube. And I know I'm an angel, so I know they're no longer tubes. Passive watching or passive playing, people doing nothing but saying. And see, this angel's starting to sound a bit like Wonka, and, you know, Wilder Wonka. Those would criticize the angel's tales, speak from a place of fear. And when that fear is not quenched, for it never will be quenched, ever again. And lo, we use that word, and lo, to let you know we're changing the subject to another thing. For fields, and rolling fields, and flat fields, terraced fields, baseball fields, fields of dreams, fields of Cecil and Prince. They roll and they roll like a sumari. And there on the line of the horizon sits the sun. And behind it rises the moon in endless cycles. But are they endless? And lo, you know they are not. But in your time, it seems that way, for the illusion of time has been brought on you, for you to believe in it so. And lo. So that's the angel archetype. You could also hear it in, you know, in places of worship. You know, other things, like a judge could be that. They would just probably not say that. They would say, heretofore withstanding, you know. Maybe they'd use a little bit more, let me see, the judge archetype. It's very similar. It'd be like, you know, knock, 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 knock. Here, you call to the stand, the people and Playlist Live Incorporated versus Dearest Scooter. This is Mr. Scooter's 500th case before me. And once again, you know, my courthouse does have a dress code, young man. Oh, Your Honor, you don't have to call me that. You really make a, am I a plaintiff? Because I'm can I countersue? Young man, I'm trying to present an example here. similar to an archangel. You know, this country has laws, is built of laws. And you, young man, seem to flaunt those things, which is the glue that holds not only all of us together, but one must remember that glue is a binder and not just a sticker. And men like you, young man, sometimes forget those things. And that is why the law is here, not just to remind you, but to behold you to such facts. And as you cry foul of ignorance or unfairness, know that it is our job not to write the laws and not to interpret the laws, but to bind the laws and the citizenry to those laws to hold us all together. Your Honor, one question. Do you still have my CB that was under your robe? Sorry, I didn't call it a dress. Yeah, I remember that like 4 years ago when I hit that walkie-talkie under there. So then that would be a judge, which is similar to an angel. But I want to give a specific congrats to one great boar. Ours a sailor, who was a sailor of the seven seas, a pirate. Was he, and I'm already in his voice, for he lived in a world of piracy. The black sails raised high in the sky as we went from port to port. And I, Azazela, the most boring man on all 18 seas, as I would explain to many ignorant, because so many pirates without manners or knowledge. And I was at the hire of many pirates, for they would capture ships. And as punishment, if pirates were not of the strongest cut of crew, you know, as reserve pirates for these for the larger operations of Redbeard and Greenbeard, Lady Witchbeard, they would hire me Azazela. The most boring sailor, that is what they called me. But for the third shift, which they would keep in a port, so if they lost the first or second crews, they could come and pick up a few extra. And to keep, now pirates are much like what this young man does to distract you. I distracted some of the, you know, not the fiercest pirates on the seven seas, though time to time I had to. Many a tale of Azazela has been told at late night with no other pirates listening. But I, Azazela, I would keep the crews distracted, for they would do for a typical day of a third shift pirate. Now, this is different than the day shift and the night shift. This is like a thing to use your terms. Third string pirates or reserve pirates. And a typical day would be doing training, which would tire you out a bit. Then choring, you know, upkeep of the ship, or if we were in port many a times, preparing supplies for the main pirate crew, making sure we had dried beans and dried rice, curing meats and fish, you know, going in for supplies. Lots of scrubbing and repairing, roping, lots of rope skills. But these were normally the worst of the pirates, you know, maybe not in attitude, but in overall skill. So they couldn't be allowed to lollygag at all, because not the sharpest pirates either. So there would be no nights of drinking spirits and rum and making merry for these pirates. And these men could not be trusted of their own accord. Oh, no, no. And that's where Azazela come in, after the night had set on the port of the land and the sun was gone, and the pirates craved the warm embrace of a woman or the warm punch of a glass of pirate rum. But there would be none for these. You're a third stringer. You're lucky you're getting yourself a biscuit, I'd say. A biscuit and a tale from old Azazela. Gather round, and they would never gather round me, you know. They would be rumbling and grumbling and puffing their pillows. For as night set, Azazela would get up for his work, his duty, and I would walk the rows of the bunks and tell them my tales. And I would, you know, start much like this young man. I'd say tales, a funny word. I have a funny story about tales. And the good thing was no one would carb. Oh, we've heard this one, for Azazela never repeats a tale. Much like the speckled hens of Nova Scotia. That's what tales remind me of, those speckled hens. And some would say they're a tailless bird, but Azazela knows that a tail is not just what you see. A tail is sometimes speckled in the feathers and the even. Was that a tale of a... And I would say, well, I guess I've been untold by it, but my tale. What was it about the speckled hens I was saying is that the speckled hens have a tale about a pirate who did not mop. I think, no. Azazela would pace. I'm a big pacer. And what I'd learned in my first days of, or I would call it a pirate, this scooter boy calls it lulling, soothing tones. Azazela calls it rotting, rotting groans. You like that when I say that, don't you? But I even made a buff on my boots and stomped them with felt in the clippings of the great red beard, for luck, and I would pace in silence. That's anyway I was telling the tale of the speckled hen. Great Goosebeak was the king of the speckled hens of Nova Scotia. And Great Goosebeak is, pirates are loath to think everyone's a man and they're wrong. Great Goosebeak was a woman. A hen, a speckled hen, you fools, of course. And Great Goosebeak would tell them, I am your girlfriend, all of you speckled hens, in this term meaning all the other speckled hens, male and female. And Great Goosebeak would tell them her tale of how she became the greatest goosebeak ever to be on. Speckled hen. The Great Goosebeak, she was a speckled hen, but she wore a goosebeak hat that she had, I guess she had designed it herself. It wasn't made from real goosebeak, thank goodness, because that would be just weirder than that. What is a speckled hen make of? I think it was made out of, what do you call those things? Nuts, one of those long nuts. Right in the sun, a nutshell, two nutshells, a goosebeak doth make. And if the pirates started to grumble at my tail, I'd get real close. I'd say, would you like a little more pillow talk, pirates, from old Azazela? Who snoozes the sailors? The greatest pirate ever to, you know, be in charge of pirates. And now I have a great, now I'm interrupting my tale, of course, to tell you my tale. For I have a great record, for never was there a coup in all the days of me running third strings. And you say, well, that doesn't prove anything, Oz. Well, I'll tell you what. Now, this port, the port of Candelabra, was known for having the third-string pirates there. And before old Azazela stumbled into town, well, I was thrown off his ship, because originally I tried to be a pirate, you know. And then I said, I bore these pirates. And it was just a bit like a movie, you know. I had my own crew, My father was a moneyed man. That was a huge disappointment, repetitive disappointment of my father. And I said, one day, Azazelia will make you proud, Papa. One day I'll be the scourge of the seven seas. And he said, I just want you to go move out on your own. You're 30 years old. Stop living with us. And I said, I took, you know, my papa's rowboat. And I tried my hand at piracy. And I failed. And I said to myself, Azazelia, you're no failure. You're just a failed pirate. You see the difference, don't you, Oz? And it was actually, in all the strange, you know, ironies of the world, and in the sensibility of time and space, it was the Lady Witchbeard who told me her tale of being a witch and becoming a pirate. And, you know, she was just, it's too complicated to understand this part. It is made up, you know, I'm Azazelia, pirate storyteller. And they say, oh, these aren't stories, Oz. It's a bunch of gobbledygook you're spewing. And I say, har, har, hearty, har. But old Oz, I had been thrown off the ship, you know, and I was in the port and I was down. And I had heard of all the coups that had happened before I had got into town, constantly. And it wasn't much trouble to put these, you know, out, because these were the most terrible pirates. I mean, the only thing, one of the problems was, you know, they didn't exactly leave the top managers and trainers behind. But as the colonial empires started to grow, the pirates had to bring the A game. And they needed more reserves, and they was, why are we going to stop this? And before I'd been thrown off that ship, I was known that they would put me in the sick bay, because they said, well, we don't dislike you. Oz is your name. I said, Oz is my name. Story, piracy was me game. Now I'm going to try me hand at storytelling. And it was old pirate Bronstein who said, me brother's sick down in the sick scully. Go down there and talk to me, brother. And I would sit down there, and I told him, I said, me pirate sir, I'll tell him me finest tales and get him bright as rain. And he said, just go down there. He'll take anything and anybody. He was lonely, and he was feverish and blubbering. I didn't really listen, because I'd be telling him me tales. And he would fall back asleep, you know. And so I would tell him me tales over and over again. As I learned very quickly, he would wake up if I repeated. I'd say, I've only kissed one woman, but I kept making up different. And he said, it's the same woman. It's the same story. You just changed the location and the name of the woman in your left hand, and you were holding her right hand, and then you changed the hands you were holding. And I said, oh. And he said, make up a new story. So I started telling the tales, and then he would fall back asleep, and soon he became healthy, and he was terribly, terribly grateful. Cannonball, you know, that's all they got to say. But his brother, the captain, the old pirate captain, he took a shine to me from then on. And each time anyone got sick, he had me talk to him. And even the doctor, the mad doctor, he was a lunatic, this doctor. But he said, Oz, you got something. I don't know what it is. He goes, I don't like listening to it, but my gosh, because a feverish man, you put him right to sleep. And then I started telling the crews, but, you know, then the crews would get too sleepy, you know, and the captain said, hey, he goes, I got an idea, Oz. And then I said, well, I don't know that. This is not flashy enough for old Oz. And then I wrote a musical, you know, and tried to perform it. That's what got me kicked off the ship. But then the captain, he left port, and he said, wait a second, with these, you know. So that's how I landed me job here. You know, keeping these crews, get them through the night, get them worked, get them to sleep, get him up, get him worked, get him to sleep. You know, if we lose some pirates, we'll come get these losers. That's what they say. And that's how I've crafted, and it cut me teeth. If I had any teeth to cut, I'd tell you, that's how old Oz, you know, I'm the pirate tale. And you might be saying to yourself before you drift away, you want to hear the end of that lovely tale about the speckled hen. Oh, Lady Duck Bee Breath, or whatever I remember that tale, like it was on the back of me hand, old lady, queen, duck cap. And, yeah, she was quite a queen. She, they would say, why, I don't know, Oz, there's no speckled hens in Nova Scotia that I know about. I'd say exactly. But there's ducks, isn't there? So, well, I'm not so sure about that either. I'd say, well, you're wrong. And lady, because what happened was, there's speckled hens in the tail. They said, well, they said, well, it's nice being speckled. And, you know, we can hide. But now that we've been, you know, domesticated by these fine humans, do we really need our speckles? And it was lady... duck cat, she said, well, why don't we keep our speckles and make ourselves hats? And then they once the humans realized that the ducks, oh, they said, wait a second, where are all our speckled hens? Now we've got a house full of ducks. And then you clucked like speckled hens once again. And that's why they shipped them out. They said, we've got the most strangest. They thought it was some sort of speckled hen illness, you know, that they turned to ducks. And so that's a way that, that's what a pirate tale is like. When you need to put a pirate to rest, you can use hens. Or, you know, I like to tell tales of a wise, you know, these ones you have to spread out. Why, many a pirate child, if especially when there's some younger pirate recruits, you know, I like to use them to, when they're still awake, you know, I have to engage them for a bit. So I say, yeah, there's a young pirate. Many a young pirate asks me, why is the sea so salty, Oz? Tell us a tale of how the salt got in the sea. And I say, oh, that's a good tale. Before you go to sleep, it's a good one to hear. What has to do with, now, has your mother ever cried before? Have you ever cried and then kissed your mother? Or you've ever tasted your own tears? You know, the salty that you know. Every pirate knows that a mother's tears are salty and bitter. Especially when you're the cause of it. But one day, up in the heavens, the great mother of the sky... Her name was Magdalena, and she had a boy who was named Urs, and he was the godchild of warm sun and smiles. And Oz decided he wanted to be a racer and run through the heavens every day. And his mother said, no, Oz, you cannot run, you're not very fast. Just stay and keep the people warm, for they smile when they feel your warm smile on the face, and the crops grow when you smile on the face. But always he had other ideas, and he started to run and run. And soon the places he was supposed to shine grew very cold. And there had been these lovely creatures his mother loved so much called dinosaurs. And these dinosaurs were half bird and half lizard. And they were known to sing to the mother in the sky, sing songs, and squawks, a bit like speckled hens, a bit, yes, sir. There was nothing the mother of the sky loved but to look down and see her earth filled with her dinosaurs running and dancing and evolving. She loved it so, but they depended on old Urs's sun to warm their faces. and keep the bodies warm. So when Urs started running around the earth and not staying in one place, thinking he was fast, but he was so slow, so he would be away from one side of the earth for so long, the dinosaurs, they grew cold, and they went into a deep, hibernating slumber, where the mother in the sky began to worry, and she said, well, I'll change you into a milky, oily substance to keep you safe, and one day you'll burn with the fire that my petulant son Urs once gave you. And then she said, well, I'll need to cover them with earth. And then she said, they'll be safer if I keep them warm with something on top once my son tires out from running. He's not even good at running. And so she began to cry and cry and cry. And soon all the basins of the world filled up with her tears. And those became our seven seas. And that is why the seas are so salty. And that is the end of my tale, my friends, of why. And it's a pleasure to meet you. I'm your, you know, Oz, and your friend. And I'm going to give it back. Oh, no, he said just finish it out, Oz. So that's how a pirate tells a tale as you rest. And you know that you are the best as you rest. You know that Oz is here to keep you entertained and distracted. And then one day down the road, another man will come and do just like me for your people. It's not an easy job, but Oz loves it so. You know, I couldn't cut it as a pirate. I couldn't cut it as a whatever they had else. You know, as my father's son, you know, he said, oh, you're not good at. And I said, but Papa, I'm good at loving you. And he said, Rationally. But I am a good teller of a adult tale. And there's nothing wrong with that in me book. And this is Oz saying goodnight to all of you. But the man with the pod will be coming back with some thank yous soon. Good night.
I want to thank all our new patrons, Z, Paula G., Sujata, thank you and good night. Cameron, thank you and good night. Paul V, thank you and good night. Jesse, thank you and good night. Good night, thank you, Gary. Good night to Elise and thank you. Brenda, thank you and good night. Lisa D, thank you and good night. Amy D, thank you and good night. Michelle, thank you and good night. Joshua, thank you and good night. Tori, thank you and good night. Emily, thank you and good night. Sue, thank you and good night. Melissa P, thank you and good night. Pedro, thank you and good night. MW, thank you and good night. Claire, thank you and good night. Corey R, thank you and good night. Timothy K, thank you and good night. Steve D, thank you and good night. Heidi A, thank you and good night. T, thank you and good night. Todd F, thank you and good night. Glenn R, thank you and good night. All right, I want to thank all our PayPal supporters. Jennifer D, thank you and good night. Patricia M, thank you and good night. Constance, thank you and good night. Larissa G, thank you and good night. Maxine, thank you and good night. Anna Maria, thank you and good night. Mark B, thank you and good night. Warren M, thank you and good night. Joe A, thank you and good night. Joel D, thank you and good night. Catherine S, thank you and good night.